On today's episode, we thought it would be a good idea to go through some of the lesser known, I guess, in some way, Disney movies, and maybe just some of the upcoming films in general. Let's find out next on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to Traveling with the Mouse. This is episode 55, and this is Monday, January the 22nd. And indeed. Yes, indeed. See, I got that right.
Indeedy.
Didn't even have to think about it. How is everything today?
Everything is good now that the snow is melted and all that stuff. Hope everybody's staying warm.
Yes, we've definitely had some a blizzard, I guess you could say, for the south in our area.
The equivalent of it. School shut down for 3 days. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was looking back and it's almost the exact same thing that happened 4 years ago. Or yeah. The time was almost exactly 4 years ago. The time frame was almost exactly
very similar, yeah.
To the snowpocalypse, as it was called.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. I am John Martin, and I am joined, as always, by Adam Brown.
And that is me, and I'm scarred for life from that snowpocalypse thing. So I was in the car for 8 hours during that.
Yeah, you remembered it well, so.
Yeah,
Did you keep your promise to yourself? I seem to recall you saying something along the lines of, like, you would never be out in it again or something like that. Like, yeah. You just stay home if there was even a threat.
Mm-hmm. A flurry is in the forecast. I am staying home. And I have kept true to that for the last 4 years. So
I actually had to go to work on Thursday. It was still on the road that I have to take going out of my house. There was a few spots that were still sketchy. It's, I came to a point on the road that kind of goes down a little bit and curves to the right some and up. And I noticed in that area right there that there was like 4 cars that had slid off into the hill, I guess, is on the right of it right there.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing about it is when it comes to, and people, I guess, don't understand, like when it's really like literally ice, like sheets of ice on the road, there's a way to navigate it somewhat better, but there's always that possibility you're going to hit a spot in which there is absolutely nothing you can do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're going to move on to the topic at hand.
Yes.
Which is talking about Disney movies.
Yeah.
They've been releasing movies since 1937. That was the very first animated feature. So there's been a number. There's a big
catalog.
Yes, there's a big catalog of films to go through. The thing is, there's a lot of them that either have lost their spotlight, I guess, in Disney, and some of them are not even known that much anymore. Some of them, in some cases, aren't shown or banned in some cases because of what people thought of them.
Song of the South. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. You know, right. It's funny. There was a lot of people, since you brought it up, Song of the South, made in originally in, 1946? Mm-hmm. Hard to believe that's really how it was.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, for the longest time, nobody had a problem with it. I think the NAACP took a stance on it, thinking that they made a little bit too light of the subject of slavery in general.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the thing about it is, once the technology era really took off, I mean, if you really wanted to get access to this film, you could. Because it was still, I mean, it was only banned in the States, really. I mean, you could still access it or find it pretty much anywhere else in the world.
This day and age, you can find any film.
Yeah, but I mean, even then, I'm talking about anywhere else in the world, it was not banned, pretty much. It was just the United States.
So, yeah. Star Wars Christmas special, you can still find.
Yeah. So. And like I say, I think even banned is the wrong terminology. It was just painted with such controversy, I guess, that they stopped re-releasing it after a while. Because they did re-release it in like the early 80s, I think, in theaters. I remember being taken to it.
Yeah.
I don't really remember a whole lot about it at that point in time, but I have seen it since because I did find a copy. And the one thing I can say about it is that it is really, I mean, I don't know that I necessarily fully understand the stance at the time. I don't know if they would still have the same today. Some people say that they should show it again to show certain aspects of it, right. I guess. But I, after I really got to just sitting and watching it, I was like, this is really not that good.
Yeah, it's just not a good film to begin with, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like the hype around it is kind of like the forbiddenness, so to speak, that you can't buy it anywhere. And then when you actually watch it and take it for what it is, I was like, this is really not that good of a film.
I think you could say that about a lot of the early films to begin with. There's not a whole lot that hold weight, except for the animated ones. Those are really good, but some of the live-action ones in the beginning weren't great.
Well, see, Song of the South is one of those considered, I guess, half.
Yeah, a hybrid.
Call them?
Hybrid.
Like a hybrid, yes. It's a hybrid because it mixes live-action and cartoon, but...
Well, of course, you have to think... I should say. Song of the South for the inspiration for the Mary Poppins scenes that are animated and live action, because the story goes that Walt had the idea from rewatching Song of the South, so to do that in Mary Poppins.
Well, it's interesting specifically that film, and the reason why I say that is because they had actually done 5 films prior to that one in which they did hybrids.
Yeah.
Involved hybrids. Some of them you may know. The most famous, probably, of these I'm about to name, Fantasia. They had the mix.
So,
and that's mostly animation, but it had aspects or parts of it that was mixed. That was half, I guess you could say. It was the first one to have half.
Yeah, it sort of has a narrator that sort of starts. He's like the conductor that sort of explains the film. I've watched Fantasia recently in the last year, and it is kind of... It's hard to say. As an adult, I appreciate its artistic value for thinking it's 1940 and how long ago that was and how sort of a leap it was at the time, how technologically advanced it was at the time. So I appreciate it from that standpoint, but it is a long, fairly, I don't want to say boring, but it drags, and so parts of it can be quite, especially when you have young kids, you're always tired, so I fell asleep a couple of times during Fantasia, but overall it's not bad. It's a good film. I think it's worth going back to it as an adult. You might appreciate it more if you have the time to watch it.
Yeah, the next one is one I think I've only seen glimpses of that was the next live action mixed with animation. And you may not even recognize it by the title, but if you looked at like pictures from it, you'd say, oh yeah, I remember seeing that before. And it's called The Reluctant Dragon.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't.
And and it was the, technically, let's see, what is it? The 4th film overall in the Disney canon. Okay. Made in 1941. And it did have, you know, hybrid, because it did have animation and live action in it. But when I saw the picture of it, I was looking at it and I was like, okay, yeah, I remember that. But I think it was really only touched on maybe in like the 80s and maybe shown pieces of it on maybe Disney Channel or something is the reason why I do remember it. But definitely not, like, you're never going to see this character in the parks or anything like that.
Yeah, the dragon does look familiar. I'm looking at pictures now of it.
Yeah,
he looks familiar.
I gotta be honest, I don't remember a whole lot about the story, but
yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, and the other 3 prior to Song of the South, when I say it's interesting that he got his inspiration from Mary Poppins from specifically Song of the South, I guess because there's more live action in that one. No, I can say other ones were Saludos Amigos, Victory Through the Air Power, which I'm not even sure I know that one, and the 3 Caballeros, of course, which is still one of the ones that still has a presence today.
Yeah. The reason I mentioned this about Song of the South was there's a documentary, and I'm trying to think of which one it was. It was either the Walt Disney documentary, the one that was on PBS a few years ago, or it was one about Mary Poppins, and it was, they mentioned that he came into the studio and asked to see certain reel from Song of the South a few times, and then they realized, you know, he was wanting to add this into Mary Poppins. That was why he It was mentioned in that documentary. That's why I remembered that specifically.
Well, all I said was it was interesting that they that was the one, considering that was actually the sixth film in which he had incorporated the idea, so to speak. So
right. Interesting.
Yeah. So I was looking at this one when I was talking about obscure ones. Yeah. It's the one called Make Mine Music. And then I looked at it and I noticed that there are aspects of it that were used on, say, Disney Channel, particularly. Some of the most probably popular pieces of it or skits were the Peter and the Wolf segment.
Yeah.
And Casey at Bat segment, of course.
Yes, I do remember those. Yes, I do remember those. I didn't realize that's where that was from. Now I do.
Yeah, but these were all segments put together in one film called Make Mine Music because they all involved, music and skits. Or
similar to Fantasia, I guess.
Yeah, kind of like the Fantasia. It was created during the Second World War or during that time period, I guess, and much of his staff was drafted into the Army, and those that were remained were called upon by the government to make training and propaganda films.
Yep.
So the studio had a lot of unfinished story ideas, but in order to keep the feature film division alive during that time, they released six what they call package films, including this was one of them. Uh-huh. So that was during the time period as, say, the Saludos Amigos and Three Caballeros as well, though. So those package films, they did show some success, I guess, especially with the Three Caballeros one. So kind of interesting there.
Indeed.
There are a lot of hybrid animations that I'm not real familiar with also during that time period. One I'm looking at called Fun and Fancy Free. I don't recall that one. Melody Time. Yeah, there's segments from that one that definitely made it forward. I definitely remember the Legend of Johnny Appleseed. And, of course, Pecos Bill from that one.
Right.
So those two segments in particular definitely made an impact. So that we still have a restaurant named after Pecos Bill. One called So Dear to My Heart, I don't really recall anything from this one. But it was similar to Song of the South as far as the style.
So are we just going in chronological order now, going down the list?
Well, I was looking at the ones. Well, I was just covering ones that I didn't recall.
Yeah.
But is there any particular ones like you have, like just right off the top of your head, like you have particular fondness to that's maybe not talked about as much today? I know the first one that comes to my mind, but let me see if it's the same as yours.
Probably not, because I think I know which one you're going to say. But the first one for me is the Davy Crockett and the River Pirates.
And that one
is a compilation film of mostly footage from the show, I believe, the TV show, and was put together for a movie, which I wore out the VHS tape that we had of this movie, this movie. We probably recorded it off the Disney Channel, more than likely, in the 80s, and it's one of my favorites. I used to watch it all the time, and I think it's worth going back to. I haven't watched it probably since I was a kid, so now I'm wondering if I went back and watched it, would I think, ooh, this isn't that good, but I always like the characters. So Davy and Georgie, I always liked them. Like, was Fess Parker and who was he? Georgie?
Buddy Ebsen.
Buddy Ebsen. There you go. So yeah, they're really good together. So good chemistry. A good movie. I still remember it very well. So that would be my choice for one to go back and look at if you haven't seen it or heard of it.
Yes. This did have some references Once Upon a Time in the Park, because they did have the keelboats you could actually ride.
Yeah. And I believe,
and they actually had the names. They had the Bertha May. They had the Gully Whomper.
Now I'm trying to remember. Isn't Crockett's, there's still a restaurant in Fort Wilderness, Crockett's Tavern or something. Isn't there still a, I believe there's still a restaurant.
Yeah, there's that. There's that has a lot of Davy Crockett type memorabilia.
Yeah. So
over in Fort Wilderness.
It's right next to Pioneer Hall where the Hoop-De-Doo is. So I haven't been in there in a while though. Should go back, but
yeah, that movie was actually better than The King of the Wild Frontier in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree, because he dies. Because that has the Alamo.
Well, I'm going to say it has the how Davy Crockett, his actual legend, you mean?
Yes, the real legend. We don't want to hear that.
You don't want to hear it.
I don't want my hero to die at the end of the movie.
But anyway, you know, they had this, the two episodes, it's a compilation, as you said, of two episodes of the television series. They were actually broadcast first, rather close together, it looks like. One was November 16th of 55, and the other was December 14th of 55. And of course, the next year, they decided to release it as a almost like a compilation film. And the thing is, they kind of seamlessly transition and make one film, really.
Yeah. The Keelboat Race and then the
River. But it's a really good one. Oh, yes. That's a really good one. There's a couple of them that I can think of that really I remember fondly, I'll say, as far as particularly the live action ones that have been forgotten. But like I said, the one that first came to mind was 1968's Blackbeard's Ghost.
Oh, okay. Yes. It's one of our favorites.
Yes, starring Peter Ustinov and Dean Jones and Suzanne Pleshette. If you have not seen this and you can get your hands on it, it is hilarious.
Yes, very funny.
It's the kind of slapstick-esque type comedy involved in it is just really good. Peter Ustinov's portrayal of Blackbeard is hilarious.
Yes.
In particular.
Yeah.
Given that it was in 1968, there might be some of you that don't find it humor-wise to be the same thing, but, you know, you might.
I think it holds up. I think it holds up.
It's just, it's one of the, like I said, it's one of the ones that I first think of and remember fondly. Another one being going actually a good bit further back from that. Because it was the fifth live action film that Disney made, and that's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah, that's a good one too.
And I don't know, it's something about James Mason's portrayal of Captain Nemo that I really like, and of course Kurt Douglas in that.
Very good.
For those of you that don't know, Kurt Douglas is still kicking, by the way. He's 101 years old.
That's true. We saw him.
Still doing fairly well.
Yeah. He was at the Golden Globes.
Yeah. So. Yeah, if you saw the Golden Globes, you know he was there, right? I didn't see it, so I didn't know he was there.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah, it's, when I think along the lines of live action, those are some of the ones that I remember most fondly. Of course, the one that started it all live action-wise was Treasure Island. That's another one that I enjoyed.
I remember that one growing up, too.
Yeah. Anything else come off the top of your head right now?
One that I know I need to go back and watch again because I know it was a really good one, and it's been a long time, but The Great Locomotive Chase, I remember, was a good movie. I just don't remember that much about it anymore. But when I saw the name, I was like, oh, I need to go back and watch that one because I've heard a lot about it. So that's just one I personally want to go back and watch.
I don't...
I've heard that it's really good, and I know I remember seeing it as a kid before, but I don't remember.
It does have some Disney, we'll call them legends in it, and Fess Parker and Jeff York, so.
Yeah, that's probably why, Fess Parker.
Yeah. But I really don't remember that one.
Would you consider 101 Dalmatians obscure these days, the original? I wouldn't think it's that obscure, but
I don't think I would put it in that category.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. But it's one that I always loved growing up, and it's not as widely available right now.
Right.
You can find it, but it's not like it's not on Netflix that I know of or anything like that. You still have to kind of hunt for it if you want to find it, but it's one that I always liked.
When I was looking down this list, I see the, you know, this like color category, and I saw one that I was like, I know what the H stands for, L and an A, but then I found one that came across N. It was like the Disney Nature
Nature series
videos, series that they had that they had way back in the day. So some of those were kind of interesting.
Yeah, the only one I remember was the African lion. I think that's the only one that I recognize the name.
Yeah.
So I don't know really the rest of them that well.
I'm not sure. I'm sure if I go down and actually saw some of the footage from it, I would come across some that I remember. But they did those mainly in the, what, 60s, I guess? So.
Yeah, 50s and 60s.
Or, mainly in the 50s. Yeah, mainly in the 50s, excuse me.
Let's see what else we got. I got one from the 90s that I really like that seems to be fairly obscure these days.
From the 90s?
Yeah, well, 1991.
One that you actually enjoy?
Yeah, right.
Oh, okay.
That's a live action, The Rocketeer. I think it's a fantastic movie.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a lot of live action ones in the 90s that I would probably rather forget, I guess. Yeah. I don't know.
There's very few, I think, when you look at the list. But The Rocketeer is one that I think is really good. I think it was underrated and not as successful as it should have been. I think it was... It's a very adventurous sci-fi kind of film, but it's in the vein of like kind of like Indiana Jones-ish sort of, and it's a really good adventure film. You know, you've got, was it Bruce Campbell, or wait, is it Bruce Campbell or the other Campbell? What's
Who?
His name?
Bill Campbell?
Bill Campbell, yeah, one of the Campbells, not Bruce. Bruce is the one that was...
I was going to say, yeah, Bruce is...
The other
known for
Billy Campbell.
Oh, why can't I think of it?
That sci-fi show.
Yeah.
He's known for a lot of other stuff. The Western one. Anyway, Jennifer Connelly's in it, Alan Arkin, Timothy Dalton.
I was going to say, you knew him as Briscoe County Jr., though, right?
Yes, right.
Originally.
Yes. And anyway. That was another, was that a 90s show? Probably an early 90s TV show. Anyway.
That was TV. But I don't think that was Disney, was it?
No, it wasn't Disney.
Okay.
But anyway, The Rocketeer is really good. Good adventure film. Nazis, you got, you know, trying to take over the world kind of thing. It has an Indiana Jones flair to it, but a very sci-fi, kind of like Iron Man almost. But it's really good. It's really good.
Yeah, that was one of the ones that I actually remember enjoying from the 90s ones. I mean, it also has Jennifer Connelly in all her glory years.
Yeah. Very young, Jennifer Connelly.
Yes. Of course, 90s is known as the decade of Disney animation, we'll say.
Renaissance.
Yes, the Disney we'll call it the Renaissance era. But they did have some decent live-action films. Some that they had that had sequels to them that I didn't really care for that much, but apparently there was a fan base there, like Mighty Ducks, for instance. It was not one of my favorite things.
Not mine either. But the other one, The Three Musketeers, that's another really good one. That's a live-action film.
Yeah, that's one that I was, I thought Homeward Bound was good. At least the original one.
Yeah, that's the one with Sally Field and Michael J. Fox. I forgot who played the other dog, the old dog. But anyway, but that's a good one.
Who played Chance? That was his name. No, Chance was the young dog, my bad. Shadow, that's right.
Yeah.
Don Amici?
I don't remember. But anyway, yeah, it was a good film. I remember that was good. It was kind of one of those classic Disney ones where you get, it's sad, and then, doesn't the old Shadow die at the end? I feel like he does. I don't know.
No, because he was in the sequel, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay. I feel like...
I'll have to go back and watch it again to make sure, but I'm pretty sure he was in the sequel.
I remember Angels in the Outfield, watching that one.
Yes. Well, I'll say I remember that one fondly, though.
I do, too. Yeah, I just think, I don't think it holds up anymore, but...
Now, the one that has become, somewhat surprisingly, having kind of like a cult following and has resurged nowadays, Hocus Pocus.
That's true, yeah.
That was in the 90s.
Let's come to the Halloween party.
Yes.
Yeah, I see it. But... Yeah, another one that I really enjoyed was Muppet Treasure Island. I think that one gets overlooked. A lot of Muppet films get overlooked as not being that good, but I thought Muppet Treasure Island was actually quite good. Tim Curry was very good in this.
When I was looking down this list, I find it kind of interesting that I came across they had the 1994 live action movie, The Jungle Book. So, and yet they're doing it again, or have done it again.
Yeah, they keep redoing Jungle Book a lot.
But the Jungle, I thought it was like, okay, so they tried this once before with the live action one.
They did, yeah.
With Jason Scott Lee as Mowgli.
Right.
So.
And I watched the new one. I get it. It's good as far as the technology and the animation, how the newest one, the one from like a year or two ago. It's good, but I just couldn't get into it. I don't know. I just couldn't get into it.
So yeah, apparently about every 20 years, I decide to redo the Jungle Book.
Yeah.
At least the live action.
A lot, yeah. A lot. But speaking of the Jungle Book, I think the original one from 1967 is very good. I highly recommend it. You know what's funny is I realize how short that movie is. It's like 78 minutes long or something like that. It is really short.
Well, the thing about it is a lot of the Disney animation from that time period is around that same.
Yeah, they're all pretty short. I just think it's funny when you're a kid, you feel like these movies are hours long, but it's like barely over an hour.
Yeah.
Now that I'm a parent and I'm like, this movie's already over? Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Basically.
So, let's see. I'm going to go back just a minute because there were several that I think I finally like live action ones that happened in, say, the 60s and the 70s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Particularly.
There's a lot.
There's a few at the end of the 50s that I think of as good ones that went on. Shaggy Dog being one of those. Mm-hmm. That was at the end of the 50s. I actually enjoyed Darby O'Gill and the Little People still, if any of you remember that one.
Not off the top of my head.
You don't remember Darby O'Gill? It had Sean Connery in it.
Really?
The Little Leprechaun.
Sean Connery?
Yes. No, had a little leprechaun in it. Guy, I can't believe you don't remember that.
Okay, yeah, anyway. I don't at the moment. I have to look back on that one.
Now, they had some Zorro films, which I know you're more fond of the television show in particular when you were a kid.
Yes, I really love Zorro.
They actually had one that was like a new Zorro that was on Family Channel, I think, in the 80s.
Yeah.
If I recall, 80s, early 90s.
Yep.
Live action ones that I actually have like purchased this one on DVD since the DVD era, which we'll say was that late 90s.
Yeah.
Late 90s, early 2000. Swiss Family Robinson, which I know people dog the treehouse, but you know, the film itself, not too many people remember the film itself. It was originally released in 1960.
Yeah. I think if you grew up watching the movie, you appreciate the treehouse more. And I just think most people don't grow up.
Yeah. That's the problem it's having
seeing it anymore.
More than anything else.
Yeah.
Absent-Minded Professor, one I can think of really. Parent Trap, another live action that's really good.
I was going to mention that one of my favorites.
This is another one that I grew to love as a kid whenever I watch it. Babes in Toyland.
Oh, yeah.
It's Suzanne, not Suzanne, with Annette Funicello.
Yeah.
And
that one.
Some other people that I can't think of their names right now that are very fondly known of. However, you remember the main villain in that story? Barnabas or Barnaby or... trying to remember right off the top of my head who it was.
I don't...
Let's see.
Barnaby?
Yes, Barnaby was the main villain, okay?
Barnaby.
But he was played by Ray Bolger, a.k.a. the Scarecrow from Wizard of Oz. I didn't even realize that was him when I was a kid.
I wouldn't have known either.
Yeah. I was like, hey, that's the Scarecrow now. I actually see it. Of course, he was a little bit older in 1960 than he was in 1939, we'll just say.
Yeah. Yes, for sure.
But anyway.
20 years.
Of course, the Absent-Minded Professor did some sequels involving the Flubber.
Right. I remember, of course, the Robin Williams remake of Flubber. You know what we should do is probably a comparison of the original to the remakes at some point and see which ones we think are better.
Yeah, I already know which one of those I think is better.
I probably don't think either one of them were all that good, to be honest, but anyway. Yeah, I remember Flubber in the 90s. Yeah.
I guess for us, there's just some that, there's just some that remember more fondly than others. That Darn Cat, for instance.
Yeah.
A lot of the Dean Jones movies I always thought were really good.
Oh, yeah.
Ugly Dachshund.
Yep.
You remember the Ugly Dachshund, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I remember that one.
Of course, probably one of the most famous ones that was made in 1968, The Love Bug.
Yes. And had a couple the of mini sequels. Yes, I think Kirby Goes to Monte Carlo is my favorite of the sequels.
Probably.
What was that in the 70? What year was that? I'm looking for it. 77. Kirby Goes to Monte Carlo. That was one of my favorite
sequels. And also, oh, yeah. though, but Rise Again to me has a lot of elements about it that are really funny, especially because they have Keenan Wynn in it, of course, aka he played Alonzo Hawk in a couple of Disney movies. Matter of fact, his name in this is Alonzo Hawk. he can always be pretty funny in his portrayals.
Yes.
So, and how he came across, I should say. But anyway. So look at the 70s. There's quite a few. Another Dean Jones one that stands out is Shaggy D.A.
Yes.
Yep. There was a lot of movies that I liked that Kurt Russell was in that involved what they call the Medfield gang, I guess, in college. A computer who wore tennis shoes. Now You See Him, Now You Don't. World's Greatest Athlete. I mean, those were all series, I guess you could say, of the same group cast. Apple Dumpling Gang. That was a good one from the 70s.
Yes. That was...
Freaky Friday, the original one, that is.
Yeah, it was...
Remember the original?
I do remember the original. I was just trying to recall the Apple Dumpling Gang. It was... Don Knotts Apple was in it with Tim Conway?
Yes. That one's hilarious.
It was a good one, yeah.
The original. Now, the Rise Again is not so great, but...
Yeah.
And one that I actually liked that I saw on Disney Channel when I was a kid, The Black Hole, which... I mean, not everybody quite... I guess that was part of my, like, inner sci-fi coming out that really enjoyed that one. My inner nerd.
Right.
Started being attracted to that one.
It's around the Star Wars time.
Same way with Tron.
Tron, yeah.
Even though I was young. And when I did eventually see it, you know, things like that.
Right.
Real quick, since we're getting near the end of it, as you say, the live actions ones they've done, and the ones you've actually seen that have been... released in recent years, like remakes, I guess, of the original animated films that are done live action.
Yeah.
There are a couple of them that I liked. The one, there's two really. I liked the Beauty and the Beast one that they just did. I was really, because they kind of changed the story around to a degree, so it's not like the original, Maleficent. I enjoyed Maleficent.
I have not seen Maleficent yet.
You need to see it. Because they, like I said, they put a new twist on the story. Because, and since you haven't seen it, I won't really go into the what. But yeah, it was different, but I actually enjoyed it.
I've not watched that one yet. Okay.
The Alice in Wonderland one was a little too weird, even for me.
Yeah, I've watched both of those, and they're strange, to say the least.
I haven't seen Through the Looking Glass yet.
Yeah, but. Strange. I don't think I've seen the whole thing because it was on an airplane. We were on an airplane. But it's weird. It's very weird.
Yeah. So as far as the upcoming ones, is there any that you're particularly looking forward to? I think the Christopher Robin one looks interesting, especially since it's based on kind of a...
Yeah, it ought to be interesting.
The author, I should say. The film is kind of based on where the origins of Winnie the Pooh came from, in a way.
Yeah, I think that'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to Aladdin. I'm interested to see how they do Aladdin. I think that The Lion King, to me, is going to be too much like the Jungle Book remake, so I'm kind of... I just couldn't get into that. I think just seeing, like, what looks like real animals playing these characters that were kind of made for animation...
Yeah.
Just... I don't know. I don't see how that's going to work in my mind. I mean, I'm sure it'll be popular, but for Aladdin, I'm interested in. I'm definitely excited because I know Will Smith is the genie.
They decided to go with a funny guy like they did the first time.
Yeah, which I like. I think it'll be good.
I don't think Will Smith will have any way of comparing in any way whatsoever to Robin Williams' portrayal, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't think you could. I think you would have to make it different. It's kind of like Heath Ledger doing the Joker. It's like, no one can do the Joker anymore. Well, you just can't do it like he did it. You have to try and make it your own thing. So,
well, see, like when you say that in the Batman series, they're both the times that they've introduced the Joker character, the portrayals were, in my opinion, in both cases, brilliant. I don't know that I could say I liked one for the other.
Jack Nichols.
Yes. I mean, they were both brilliant.
Yeah, I think they're both really good, yeah. But yeah, they're very different approaches to the same character. So I think that's what you got here with Genie. I think Mulan will be good too, by the way. I think Mulan, I'm looking forward to that.
We'll see. I haven't seen a whole lot about Mulan. I do see that they have some that's to be announced. They're doing a Cruella movie, supposedly. It'll be interesting to see who they choose to act in that one, because Glenn Close has got to be, I mean, how old is she now? I mean,
she's getting up there.
She might could play the same thing. Well, the way they do things nowadays, you know.
Yeah, they could make her look the same.
Yeah.
But the Mary Poppins Returns, I'm excited about that too. I think it's one of the best Walt Disney movies, especially ones that he was involved in. I think it's one of the best ones done, and to see it come back will be interesting. I don't know that it can be as good or better than the original, but I'm willing to give it a shot.
There's several others that are kind of to be announced or to be determined, I guess. A sequel to The Jungle Book. Why, I don't know, I guess. Cash grab.
Yeah, it was successful, so let's make a sequel. Yeah.
The Little Mermaid.
Something Walt Disney never did, by the way.
Something Walt Disney, yeah, good point. The Little Mermaid, they're going to make a live action one of those. They're going to do a sequel to Maleficent. I don't understand how you could sequel that, but we'll see. Of course, Pinocchio is going to be live action from what they're, or at least they're planning on it. Same way with Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And The Sword in the Stone. And two films, interestingly enough, based on Peter Pan. One of them called Tink and one called Peter Pan.
Interesting. Wasn't Disney responsible for the one in, or that was Hook, not a Disney film? Or was that, I'm trying to remember.
No, Disney didn't have anything in Hook that I know of.
Okay, good, because that was a terrible movie.
I remember watching it. Well, it was one of those things where, who was it that did Hook?
I think it was Spielberg. Didn't Spielberg direct Hook?
Spielberg did, but I mean the company that did it. I don't think it was Disney.
Yeah.
I had to look that up.
Terrible.
All right, here we go. Here's Hook right here. See, because this is based on a sequel novel by J.M. Barrie. Or acts as a sequel to J.M. Barrie's 1911 novel Peter and Wendy, focusing on Peter Pan as an adult.
Yikes.
Which was weird, I guess, because he was, when we last left him, he, as far as we knew, he was never going to grow up, so I guess he came to the human world and grew up. Let's see. It says Spielberg began developing the film in the early 1980s with Walt Disney and Paramount.
Either way, it's a bad movie, so.
So I'm trying to see who they actually give the credit to. Looks like the production company was Amblin Entertainment, distributed by TriStar Pictures at that time. So I don't see where the Disney connection comes in there.
When it was finally made.
So I don't know. It was I thought it was a decent film, though.
Yeah,
you didn't like it?
No, it doesn't hold up. Okay.
Well, I mean, it was successful in the sense that it was budgeted $70 million and made $300.9 million. So
I guess
I'd say that's a pretty good return.
Yeah. Doesn't hold up though. Another one I know they've talked about is a movie based on the Jungle Cruise with Dwayne the Rock Johnson. So that ought to be, I think that could be good. I think you could make a good film out of the Jungle Cruise, even though most of the films based on rides have not been very good, except for really the first Pirates is really the only one that I think is like a great film. The rest of them are watchable, but they're not, you know, they're not amazing movies.
Yeah, I mean, let's see. It's kind of hard to say. I mean, they first started the whole films based on attractions with Country Bears, which really was not well received, we'll say.
Haunted Mansion was next?
Haunted Mansion. Yes, Haunted Mansion, I think, followed it up. Which, I don't know, it didn't do. I think a lot of people criticized the way they did it. And I remember at the time of the release of the film, when there was some talk about replacing Madame Leota with, what's her name, Jennifer, whatever her last name is, the one that played Madame Leota in the film anyway, about the potential of replacing the original Madame Leota with her, you want to talk about outcry. Even though there was no social media as not really present just yet whenever that came out, the online response and where people did voice their opinions probably squashed that if it was ever even a possibility from the get-go.
Yeah.
The whole live action got saved by Johnny Depp and Captain Jack Sparrow.
Yeah.
With Pirates of the Caribbean and The Curse of the Black Pearl. And it was just a really good storyline, good portrayals by the actors. The thing about it is the title kind of threw you off as to what the story would be about. The Black Pearl actually being a ship, it turned out to be a much better storyline. You know, it kind of threw you off.
Right.
It just was really well written. Personally, I know a lot of people crap on the sequels. I still thought they were good. But, you know.
I think the second one's okay. The Dead Man's Chest. And the third one, I think, was just too off the wall at World's End. I just couldn't get it. I didn't like it. And then, what was the one with Penelope Cruz? Was Blackbeard? No, what was the... It was okay.
What's the name?
Stranger Tides, is that the one? On Stranger Tides, I think.
Yes, anyway. On Stranger
that
Tides,
was,
yes.
That was, it was okay. It was decent. I don't remember much about it to say, oh, that was great. The first one is, it's a really good movie. The others have good parts in them, but they're not overall, like, you know, amazing films. They have good moments.
Like I say, I've enjoyed them all, but when you're trying to live up to the standards of, if you're going to compare them all to Black Pearl, they're all going to fail. I mean, let's just be honest. That's kind of how it is, like, you know, with a lot of film series. You compare them all to one of the films, it's going to tank.
Yeah. It's kind of like Jurassic Park in our books. I mean, I think the original is still the best by far.
I think after the Pirates became successful, they kind of ran with that, and then they were kind of, I guess, worried for a while there to do other attractions because of how bad the other attempts went.
Right.
So.
We'll see if they can recuperate.
Yeah. I mean, is there another one, though, that I'm trying to think? I'm trying to remember if there's any other. Because I think after Pirates, they just stuck with Pirates. I can't think of another one after that.
I don't think after that they tried anything else, have they?
Tomorrowland. That's right. They did do Tomorrowland, which that was a decent film to me, but.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty good. I did watch that one. I can see why it didn't do great, but I thought it was pretty good.
All right. Well, I think we've really rambled on this topic.
We have. But go see the movies we've talked about, and if you have any others, let us know what you think.
There you go. There's a lot of classic ones. We could have gone on all day covering the classic ones.
Yes.
You probably need to see.
And if you want us to go in-depth on them, let us know that, too.
Yeah. But like I said, the ones that I first thought of came to mind, especially I loved as a kid. I mentioned them off the top of my head, went and found some of them. Some of them I own now. You know, one I just thought about of ones that I owned that I bought on DVD one day when I saw it in Walmart, and this was several years ago now, was Bedknobs and Broomsticks. That's another one that I enjoyed.
Yes, I was going to mention that earlier. Yeah, I forgot to mention that.
Yeah. So good one. I worked it in here at the end when I thought of it. Another, what I like to consider a Disney legend, in Angela Lansbury.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
You know, it's probably common knowledge now, but you know the Beauty and the Beast where she sang the song? Mm-hmm. It was done in one take.
First take, you mean? That's pretty good.
Yes, she did it all in one take.
Yeah. That's a pro.
Professional.
She's a pro.
Yep. All right. So if you want to, as Adam mentioned, let us know. You can contact us via our social media outlets. I'm losing
the Facebook.
Well, I know that we have Facebook, but I'm saying, what do you call the part that says at, when I say at TWTM podcast, is that like the handle? I guess.
You call it
the handle. I'm trying to think if you call it anything else in the others, but in each one of these social media platforms, it is at TWTM Podcast, and that would be Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
There you go. And you can visit us on the web, travelingwiththemouse.com. Email us, podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. And support the show financially.
Oh, what, through Patreon?
Yes. Patreon is also patreon.com/TWTM Podcast. And the only one that's slightly different is Spreadshirt at shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM. And look at our merchandise. Support the show if you like the show.
And you can find these links through the website as well.
Yes, travelingwiththemouse.com.
So if you're having trouble finding them by other methods, you can always go to the website and there will be a link to these other platforms and outlets
right
there
at the top of the page.
Yep. So this has been Traveling with a Mouse. I am John Martin, and this has been Adam Brown as well. And we will see you on our next journey.